Are you going to live forever? No, I didn't think so. Are you afraid of dying? Well, you're in luck because today's episode, we're going to be talking about the fear of death. This is the Existential Stoic Podcast. I'm Randy. That is Danny. What's going on, Danny?
What's up, Brandy?
Danny, are you consciously afraid of dying?
I guess like sometimes. Not, I mean, I don't really, not particularly. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's weird because, like, I know it's gonna happen. Like, it's definitely 100% going to happen. Like, no matter what is figured out with science, no matter what happens, it'll definitely happen at some point. There's no getting around it.
I think consciously could be the key word there because consciously or like logically, not really afraid of dying, but there's still, like I still like jump out of the way of a car and
Oh,
I
yeah.
still try and avoid pain and I do all this, like I live a healthy lifestyle. So like all these things are based on fear of dying.
Yeah,
But
eat food and, like, take care of it. Yeah, all these things, you're trying to, like, prolong your life, essentially, right? Or make it, like, yeah. Do we have any fear?
But they say that the fear of dying has a lot of causes. Even I've been listening to some books on psychosomatic pain and medicine and stuff like that. How like that's one of the big causes of pain in people's lives is just fear of dying, getting older. Different things like that, it causes people psychosomatic pain.
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, when we have, our fears can manifest into, like, actual physical symptoms. And the same with, like, depression's like that too, where, like, it's really not necessarily a physical thing, but it manifests sometimes as physical pain and stuff. Even though, because you, like, convince yourself you feel that way, which is really interesting, like, that you can do that, Yeah. And then you start to feel it.
Pain is a really interesting book. For anyone who's interested, there's this book called The Divided Mind, which is pretty crazy because it's like one of the few books that really talks about psychosomatic medicine. And so like everybody's like, but your mind can't do that. Like you can't be in pain because of your mind. And it's like, have you ever been heartbroken? Like nobody stabbed you in the chest, but it hurts like a motherfucker. And so like it's possible that your mind can cause some pain in the body. And while maybe it doesn't account for all pain, it is kind of an interesting question. And fear of death is one thing that he talks about, one of the causes for pain that sometimes people get, particularly like a lot of these age-related changes that people think that may or may not actually be causing the pain. It could just be a fear of death.
And what's interesting about that too, because I get that with the age-related ones, especially because, like, the more you start thinking about it too, those are the kind of things where, like, the more you think about it, the more it starts to become a reality, whether it's real or not, and it can get really weird. Yeah, it is interesting. And the, yeah. And the fear of death makes us do weird things too, because tied to that is also, like, the fear of not being important, not being remembered, not, just not existing anymore or being part of the world. And so you see people also do a lot of things in their lives in an attempt to sort of, like, address that in some way, even though they really have no power over addressing that. Like, you have no control, no matter what you do, on how people remember you, how long they remember you, anything like that. I mean, you just have no, there's, that's not your choice.
I think about that sometimes. Like, you know how like there can be freak accidents or whatever that just like wipe you out, like just I don't
Oh,
know,
yeah.
a house falls on you or whatever. And it's like you try and prepare for things so that like people will be taken care of if you disappear, but then it's like yeah, but eventually, a year, 5 years, 10, 100 years, whatever, nobody will care. It doesn't
No,
matter. Like no matter what
no.
happens. It may be bad for a moment, but it really doesn't matter.
Well, and also, even if they do remember you, it's like they're not really remembering you. They didn't know you. Like, yeah, we know of, like, Plato and stuff because he of his works, but we don't know him. I'm not remembering him. It's only his the books that I have left, right? And the ones that survived.
Dude, and okay, we remember Plato, but what about the whole entire rest of the earth at that time? Nobody
Yeah.
knows.
Yeah.
Every single other person alive at
Gone.
that time,
And
nobody knows.
it's like,
You
and
just
yeah.
remember one dude.
And most of the stuff we have that we make, dude, doesn't last that long. Like, I mean, like, in certain cases, it's just luck that something happened to be found that happened to still be around, like, their stuff's happened to exist for whatever reason. It is kind
Yeah,
of funny to think about that way.
I was thinking about that recently because, like, I just read 2001: A Space Odyssey,
Oh, that's
and
pretty cool.
I was like, yeah, like being alive during the year 2000, that's something like people remember that. They'll look back to that time. And then I was like, does anybody consider what happened the year 1000? And it's like, no. So why would anyone care in the year
Nope.
2000?
Yeah. Well, that's just it, though. It's like crazy because we're living through it. So to us, it has all this importance. But that'll be the same for the people living in the future, right? That'll be important to them. The past will just be, some stories they tell and stuff like that. I mean, it won't be that much. But it's interesting, though, because the amount that people go through for that to try and, solidify some existence, some quasi remembrance in the future is very interesting. Because like the lengths they go to trying to like set up things and I don't know, it's just really weird. And
It's
what does it
freaking
get us?
crazy. Nothing. Just a little, it's like we love control. And it's like it buys us a little bit of control, thinking that we have something taken care of after we die. But really, I mean, I've heard some enlightened people say that death is just like sleep, you know?
Well, I mean, what was it like before you were born? There you go.
It's pretty groovy.
Probably gonna be similar. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's funny too, because like I always wanted like Sartre talks about, responsibility and freedom and like that choice, and even mentions like that, like he even thinks that like there's times where like killing yourself would be the right choice, like and in extreme cases, like example he uses like the, if you were like a Nazi soldier, he's that example. The guys like that were actually doing killing in the concentration camps, like he's like they could have killed themselves. They had a choice, so they made an evaluation of that. And I always found it interesting because like, is how much is our life worth to us, and how much of our values and our and like, and are we willing to do just in order to stay alive, and is it worth it, in some cases. And that fear of
Well,
death is
yeah.
strong though, because people obviously didn't kill themselves. They did what they were told to do.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is like all of us can commit suicide whenever. And I remember one time you said something along the lines of like, yeah, you could always do that, so why now? And it's kind of an interesting way to think about it because even though we all could, it's like, well, why do it now?
It's like a last resort type measure. You don't get any choices after that. But yeah, you could always do it. Conceivably, there's nothing stopping you. So like, yeah. Give it a moment and think on it.
But also like what you were talking about earlier with like the death being kind of like before you were born or sleep or something like that. That's like the rational part where I'm not afraid of it because like sleep is oftentimes the best part of my day.
Like the rest. Oh, finally, I get to take a break from this. Jesus. Yeah, the long sleep. Yeah, it is funny. It's, well, it is true. Like, I mean, I know nobody knows what it's going to be like, obviously. The only reference point you have is before you're born, but we don't know. There was nothing, right? I mean, I kind of like Epicurus in that sense, where he says, like, death is, there's nothing to fear about death because it's the cessation of all experience. And if we can't experience, then there's no pain, there's no pleasure, there's nothing. Right? So death is nothing because there's nothing to experience in death.
I think what a lot of people fear is that they'll have stuff left undone, like things they didn't say to people, their bucket list, things they didn't do. And it's yeah. So I can see that, but it's like that should be the
Oh, like,
reason to just do it now. Like,
yeah,
don't
the
leave
regrets.
things unsaid with people. Don't have a bucket list. Just start freaking doing this stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good, yeah, doing the stuff so that you don't have those regrets or you don't have those feelings, I think is a good way to kind of like help mitigate that fear of death, maybe. But I think it goes, I think there's other people too that also like have a fear of not being part of the world. It's like more than just like, regrets like that. It's more like, their importance, they talked themselves up to being this important and now they're not going to be there,
I wonder what that just made me think of is like, I wonder if extroverts are more scared of death than introverts. Because it's like extroverts want to be part of the world, they want to be around with other people. Introverts are like, just leave me alone, I'll go read a book. Like, it's like,
Yeah.
I wonder if more extroverts are afraid of death and introverts are just like, bring
They're like, you have to
it.
remember
I'm
my
ready.
name. Yeah. Everybody must
Remember
know me.
me. Remember Bender?
Remember me. Oh God, such a great show.
God. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta watch that show.
Oh my God, the first 4 seasons were great. Anyway. Yeah.
That was back when you had DVDs. Holy cow.
I know,
Long
right?
time ago.
Remember that? They were great. Get
Long
something,
time
pay
ago.
for it once. Never again.
And yeah, and actually have available what you wanted instead of hoping it was on Netflix.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like, I don't know, whatever, we can bitch about that later. But yeah, it is. I don't know, like the it is funny how these like I always it's always interesting to me too, how these like things that like we have no control over, like life and death, right? It's part of life. We all know. We see it all around us, things die. It's just how nature works, right? It's like we know it's part of the world, yet it has such an influence on the things we do and the choices we make. And I always find that really fascinating that like there we know this is how the reality works, right? And like I said earlier, like even if like scientists figured out how to make people live forever, well, the sun's eventually gonna blow up, the universe, something's eventually gonna happen where none of this will exist. So eventually it doesn't matter. It's still the end result's still the same. You know? It's like,
And
and
it's
it's interesting.
also inconsequential. Like,
Yes, very.
I mean, just reading the sci-fi recently reminds me that regularly how absolutely inconsequential anything that happens here on Earth is.
I that's one thing I love about like sci-fi and astronomy and space in general is like when you look at like these distances, the vastness, just like, and you start to really think about it, you realize how insignificant everything is. Like just the distances between things is so insane. It's like, we don't know what the hell's out there at all. No idea.
It takes you like lifetimes to travel between stars at the speed of light. It's
And you know
like,
what's,
it's insane.
and like, yeah, the likelihood is there's probably life out there somewhere else. And even if we were the only place with life on it, that doesn't necessarily mean that that gives us any more value. I mean, you know,
Yeah,
like,
definitely
it's really
not.
strange.
But we certainly think it does.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
you know what? It's just funny how we care about all these things. Like, how we're carpeting the world in plastic. Like, as if it really matters, because you know what? After this world explodes, it doesn't matter.
Well, it only matters in the immediate, you know, I think. And even then, I don't think people care that much. That's the other funny thing. But yeah. Yeah. So what do you do then if the fear of death? How do you address it?
I think, like Marcus Aurelius talks about, just think about it regularly. The Stoics talk about it. Just it needs to, it should be something that's on your mind regularly because it's going to happen.
Oh,
And
yeah.
and I think the more you think about it, the better you're able to address it when it comes, but the more prepared you'll be for it.
I think that too helps because, yeah, I mean, the systems are very much similar. Like, we're like being aware of it, accepting it also kind of implies thinking about it a lot, right? And you have to like kind of like get the intellectual thought to like move over into practice, you know, and how you really think about the world, what you're doing, all these things. And that requires kind of thinking about it a lot, right? To get to that point. So you keep reminding yourself. Because it's like our knee-jerk reaction is to kind of ignore it, I think, or just not think about it. So you have to keep kind of forcing it over and over. Meditation is a good example of that too, because he does it like 100 times, you
All the time.
know? Yeah.
I think it also helps you to live life because a lot of us are scared of living life or fearful of the pains of life, of the challenges, the difficulties, whatever. Like, how many people don't even have a passport and yet what's the number one thing you want to do? Oh, I want to travel. It's like, do you have a passport? No. Well, come on. And it's like, yeah, but that's hard. It costs money and you have to wait a few months. And it's like, yeah. But once you recognize that there's going to be a certain death and you can address the fear of that death, all of a sudden the fear of dealing with the hurdles you need to get a passport may not seem so big.
Yeah. You know, it would be nice if, like, you know, because I've mentioned, you know, you always hear stories of people who, like, have a terminal illness and, like, changes their whole life, right? And it would be nice if, like, everybody could have that, like, conscious awakening, I guess I would say, sort of, you know, to, like, without, maybe without the other part of it, you know, just have that, like, that
I feel like it
recognition
would
that
be like the 1970s in America again, like sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
But you know, but it makes sense, right? Because it's like all of a sudden, like these people get smacked in the face with their mortality, and like they hadn't been thinking about it at all before then, and all of a sudden that changes everything. And I think that's a really good indication that we need to be thinking about it more, because clearly, like if that's such a standard story that happens, which it is anecdotally, right? Then that means most people aren't living in a way that's consistent with how they should really be living, because they're letting their fears of change, of success, of failure, all that stuff get in the way and stop them from doing things that they really should be doing. You know, it's funny because I think that's part of the fear of death, right? We'd ignore death, so we think we're going to live forever, so we focus on security, comfort, and stability rather than like trying new things, doing things that we want to do, taking chances, taking risks, and like living a good life.
And it's a challenge
Yeah, I
because,
think there's
yeah, at the end of the day, you're gonna die. And so I'm just thinking of from What About Bob, that little kid Sigmund, who's like, I'm gonna die. We're all gonna die. And it's like,
Yeah.
yeah, at the end of the day, we're all gonna die. And it really doesn't matter if you make something of your life or not, but you know, it would suck to waste it. Like I mean, I'm fairly confident that if I was to die, if I was on my deathbed, I would be pretty confident in saying that, yeah, I pretty much did everything I want to do.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, and like in a certain sense, I mean, you can't waste it. You're going to live anyway. But like, yeah, in the sense of like living your best life or living a life that's right for you. Yeah. I mean, hopefully everybody would get to a point where they can say that, right? That would be great. Because that means at least you tried the stuff, right? That mattered to you, even if it didn't work out. I always am a big fan of that. I feel like at least if I tried it, that's better than thinking, wishing I had tried it, right? Even if it, a failure occurs, who cares? Like, at least I did it. And, you know, I think getting that point's hard, though, because it is. It's difficult to, like, take chances on ourselves, take those risks, to realize that this is maybe, you know, not going to go forever. You know, Camus was big about that, too, by realizing that, you know, we all die and that there's nothing. I mean, for him, there's nothing afterwards. There's no belief in an afterlife or anything. He felt like, I mean, in a certain sense, it gives life both no meaning. It means it's meaningless, right? But it also gives it more meaning in the sense that we can make of whatever we want. And so it opens the door to kind of like making of ourselves whatever we want and seeing it however we want and taking those chances, because really, what's there to lose? There's nothing to lose.
Bingo. So we solved the fear of death for you today.
Think about
There
it
you go.
often.
Yeah, right. Meditate on it, maybe with the meditations. You know what? I was thinking about it today because like I was talking with someone about how I love reading the meditations, and they're like, "Oh my God, how can you read that?" And it I figured out it's two things. One, it totally depends on the translation because I read another translation of it and it was terrible.
Oh
And
yeah,
then
there's 100%. There's terrible translations and stuff like that. Yeah.
two, it needs to start on chapter two because chapter one is just him thanking everybody and it's like nobody cares. But chapter two is like begin the day by thinking that you're going to deal with the arrogant person, the
Yeah.
ignorant person, all that stuff. And it's like, oh, that makes sense. So, anyways.
Oh, there's lots of stuff like that, though. I think a lot of philosophy too, especially books like that. It's starting where it's right for you too is kind of important, because like you know. Well, like the Tao Te Ching's another good example. Like, and the Meditations are both good books, but like you don't have to read them straight through either. You can kind of jump in. Epictetus handbooks like that, you know, a lot of Nietzsche's works like that. Like, you don't need to start at the beginning. You can kind of start in, you know, almost anywhere. So yeah. I agree with you there.
Sweet. So there you have it. The fear of death solved for once and for all. This is
Done.
if you enjoyed that. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Watch us on YouTube. This is the Existential Stoic Podcast. I'm Randy. That's Danny. I'll see you later, Danny.
Later, Andy.